Good morning and welcome to the Joplin and Andrea podcast. I'm Andrea, here with my co-host and husband Joplin.
Welcome to our show. We're going to be talking today about guarding your heart with all vigilance, if I can get that word out there right. And we're going to be discussing the Chosen series. And on the back end of our show, Andrea and I are going to talk about some of our previous jobs, some of the first jobs we've had, best and worst. It's going to be a fun discussion. Thank you for joining us today. Let's get started right away with our first topic of guarding your heart. This was a topic this morning that Andrea said, hey, let's talk about this today. And so, Andrea, why? What are we talking about this idea of guarding your heart for?
We're talking about this because it just was really big on my heart. You know, I take notes during service, and it was one of the notes that I had written down was, this just popped out in my mind because it's so important. If we don't take our thoughts captive, it can eventually, I mean, in big picture, control who you are. It can define who you are. And even in the little, you know, sometimes it even changes how we handle a situation or a circumstance. And so guarding our heart is so huge in my mind that I just thought it would be great to talk about it. So how do we practice this, Joplin? What can people do?
Well, guarding your heart, this topic came out of, for our listeners that don't know, I actually was teaching on this last night, and the importance of guarding your heart, you know, how can listeners do it? I think the first thing is that you have to understand this is the battleground, that where everything really takes place. From the beginning of scriptures to the end, the battleground is for the heart. God is after the heart of men and women, and so too is our enemy. He is after our heart, and whoever controls the heart is ultimately who controls the person. And so you have to understand that this is battle, and when you see it as battle, you see it as a war. You see it as life or death, which is really the context the scripture puts it in. It's life or death, light or darkness, heaven or hell. And all of it comes down to the battleground of the heart. And so people must see that this is a war. They have to treat it as a war. And I think that if you don't see it with that degree of seriousness, mm-hmm. you won't really treat it with that degree of seriousness, if that makes sense.
Yeah, for sure. I know for myself that I've had some different just seasons where the enemy really tries to get in and fight me through some different things. And sometimes if I'm not careful, even the smallest thing will start creeping up and causing some fear, which turns into doubt. And now all of a sudden I'm anxious about things that I should have never been anxious about. And it's amazing how it is a war, and how sometimes if we don't watch and we don't catch it right off the bat and we're not conscious of it, it can turn into something big. What are some do's and don'ts that people should be conscious of?
Yeah, that's a good question. Practical ways to guard our heart. Let's do the don'ts first. I always like finishing with some positive instead of finishing with the negative. Mm-hmm. But there are some important things not to do if you're going to be guarding your heart. One of those is you don't want to have the wrong friends. You show me your friends, I'll show you your future. And while that exact phrase is not found in scripture, you will find in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 33 that bad company, in fact, it starts out with do not be deceived. Mm-hmm. Bad company corrupts good morals. And so the first thing you want to not do is not hang out and be around and be influenced by the wrong people. You cannot continue to surround yourself around people that are going the wrong direction, that are not godly, Christ-minded people, and expect that somehow it's not going to impact you in a negative way. So you want to be cautious on who your friends are. Next, what not to do. Don't watch and listen to garbage. And I use the term garbage because I don't want to define what your garbage is. But for me, garbage is anything that tempts you to sin. If you are watching something, listening to something, participating in something that when you're doing it, it arouses the passion within you to sin against God. Stop doing that thing. Stop watching the show. Stop listening to whatever you're listening to and or going wherever you're going. And so you've got to guard your heart that way. And the third thing I would say don't do is don't chase temporary pleasures. I don't have the time to go into it in a podcast, but one of the general principles of Scripture is this. God promises long-term blessing as we endure short-term pain, persecution, just being faithful to God by saying no to quick temporary pleasures. God promises that in the end we will be blessed. Our enemy, on the other hand, his kingdom works the exact opposite. He offers temporary pleasures, short-term immediate gratification, for long-term pain and destruction. Yes. And so when we talk about guarding your heart and seeing this as a war, you need to understand your enemy's schemes. And one of the schemes of the devil is to appeal to your fleshly desires, appeal to immediate gratification and fulfilling your pleasures and wants, but it ultimately leads to long-term pain. So three things not to do: don't have the wrong friends, don't listen and watch to garbage that influences you to sin, and number three, don't chase temporary pleasures. You have to have your wits about you and understand that these temporary pleasures lead to long-term pain. Now let's talk about some of the do's, all right? Let's talk about the things you need to be doing to guard your heart. Number one, you got to know the Word of God. Mm-hmm. God's Word is a lamp to our feet. It's a light to our path. It guides us and directs us. You can't know what to do. You can't know the instructions if you're not studying the instructions. And then number two, you've got to obey what you read. It's not enough to just know the Word. You've got to obey the Word. And then you've got to stay focused. In Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, we have this verse about guarding your heart with all diligence. And then in verse 25, we have the admonition to keep your eyes focused forward. And so you've got to stay focused. You got to know there are going to be things that are going to try to divert your heart to the left or the right, but you've got to stay focused. And then finally, the final do, here's what you've got to do if you're going to guard your heart. You have to take responsibility, right? Here's what the scripture says: keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life. It is your responsibility to keep your heart. You must own your heart, and you can't let anyone else handle it. You can't let your peers handle it, or your husband, or your wife, or your kids, or your parents, or your pastors. It's your responsibility to guard your heart. And so take responsibility for your actions. And those are some do's and don'ts that I would say are really important on this topic of guarding your heart. I want to finish it with this question. All of that is great information for everyone, doesn't matter who you are, what stage of life you are in your faith journey, mm-hmm. but this is good info for everybody. But I want to talk specifically about those that are lifelong Christians, or maybe, you know, been a Christian for a long time. Mm-hmm. Let me reword it and say it that way. You know, you're not necessarily tempted to go back to the clubs. You're not necessarily tempted to go back to your old sinful lifestyle, but this guarding our heart goes beyond, you know, the general fleshly desires. What does this look like as you mature in your faith? How are some ways that the devil kind of sneaks in and tries to get a hold of our heart that might not be quite as obvious as it was early on in our faith? So Andrea, how does this work in your life? What are some of the things you must guard your heart against? You know, we've been saved 20 years, pastoring a church in Derby, Kansas for 14. Now we've did ministry, for almost the entire 20 years we've been saved. And, you know, God's honest truth, you and I aren't tempted to turn around and go back clubbing, right? We're not tempted to go back to the old party lifestyle. And but we still have to guard our hearts. So what are the things we have to guard our hearts from, even 20 years into ministry? I'm going to let you start with that. What's that look like in your life?
In my life, I would say sometimes it's even a little harder as you get older because they're not so transparent. They're not so big. You have to watch for them. And, you know, really, it can be as simple as even somebody who's got a negative attitude towards you, making sure that when you're handling people or handling situations that, you know, you're prepared for it. Because if you're not careful, sometimes the negativity rubs off on you. Or if you're not prepared for it, sometimes somebody who's just very fearful about everything, you know, wants to rub off on you. So I think the most important thing is that we are aware of it and that we're prepared and that we've done the things that we need to, just like you talked, we've put things into place, reading and knowing God's word and being conscious of today, what's that look like? And when those things do come up, quickly putting truth to it so that there is no, no time for it to just sit and dwell and help you get in a funk. And so just being prepared and being, you know, having those things present that you can apply. So those are things in my own life that I have to watch just to make sure that I have my heart and mind where it needs to be. Yep. What about you? Do you have a couple situations you'd like to share about how you prepare?
Well, I would say that it does change the way that our heart is attacked, because the heart is under attack. It is the aim of God. It is the aim of the devil. And so that never changes. How the attack happens changes. And it is something we just have to be constantly aware of. You know, for me, what the enemy wants us to do is quit. Mm-hmm. That's the goal. You know, if he can't get you to turn entirely away from God and go back to your old lifestyle, he wants you to quit making a difference with your life. And so he tries to discourage you from ministry. There are a lot of different ways that that happens. But in these areas, we have to guard our heart and just stay faithful to the task that God has called us to. And the interesting thing is that while the way we are attacked changes, the principles that allow us to stay strong through those attacks don't change.
Yes.
In other words, the do's and the don'ts are the same. You got to have the right friends. You got to have the right people around you that are encouraging you and speaking life to you. You've got to make sure that you're not putting garbage into your life that, in, you know, that is encouraging you to give up and quit. And you've got to stay in the word. You've got to obey what you read. You know, and you've got to take ownership of your own heart. So while the attack changes, the way we handle the attack doesn't. And that's the awesome thing about the Word of God, is that it just stands true from beginning to end. And so I want to encourage our listeners to guard your heart. Nobody's going to do it for you. It is your job, and you need to know that's where the real battleground takes place. And so that's all we've got for this side of the break. If you will hang on, we'll be right back in a short minute.
On the go, but still want to jam to your favorite local station? Download the TuneIn app and search Alive 105 KDKQ. With the TuneIn app, you can rock out on those road trips across the country or on your walk around the park with Fido. So grab a leash, your phone, and listen to Alive 105, music that's good for you, on TuneIn.
Welcome back to the Joplin and Andrea podcast. We are getting ready to talk about the Chosen series. We are pretty excited about that series. Joplin, what's your thoughts on the Chosen series?
I was shocked. And people are probably going to be shocked to hear what I'm about to say about Christian TV. But I've been really burnt out on it over the years. And I just feel like such a jerk when I say that. But it's just the truth. It's like Christian films have been so far behind the times that it feels like you're watching something 30 or 40 years old. And it's difficult when you're used to seeing better acting, mm-hmm. better imaging, and it's just difficult. And I've really struggled. In fact, wow, I'm probably getting big trouble for this, but I guess I don't have to tell you which one it was, which show it was. I'm just going to say it was Samson. I tried to watch Samson a few months back and I just couldn't. I mean, I got like 3 minutes in and I'm like, oh, this is terrible. But I tried to keep watching because I felt guilty, right? I'm trying to be a spiritual Christian that enjoys spiritual television. I get 5, 6, 7 minutes in and I'm just like, I can't do this. This is so terrible. It's so corny. The acting's so terrible. That's been my experience with Christian, most Christian films and TV shows. So when The Chosen series came out, I was hesitant to watch it. And even though there was a lot of good reviews on it, there was a part of me that was like, I just don't want to watch it. I don't want to be let down again. And then I watched it and I could not stop.
Yeah.
It was unbelievable how incredible this series is. It is, in my opinion, the best Christian television series ever created to date. Fascinating in so many ways. I've got more to say about it, but I want to get your take. You know, what are your thoughts? Because you've watched the series as well. What are your thoughts on it?
I absolutely loved it. I thought it was amazing. I've tried to recruit more and more people to watch it. So if you haven't watched it, you should. It is incredible. You know, I'm with you there where I've watched several films that have just not been good, and they're really hard to follow and they're really hard to get into. And I would have to say that the Chosen series has just put like a whole new perspective in several areas and made it come to life when sometimes it's hard to make the Old Testament come to life and some of the New Testament things come to life. And so anyway, it was really good. And even just the way that they had each story played out in reality was spot on. I loved it.
It really helped put characters, you know, with the characters you read in the Bible. It gave you a picture that these are real people, real humans, watching them try to work together. The way that God brought together people like Simon Peter, you know, this rough and tough kind of fisherman, quick to fight guy, with Matthew, the tax collector, and actually watching it all happen was awesome. I cannot express enough that it is worth watching. If you haven't seen it, you have to watch The Chosen series. Yep. So great series.
I think
series.
I'm even just like getting the goosebumps talking about it. It just gets me excited. The part that really stood out to me too is even the Mary and how she was demon possessed, and Nicodemus tries to help her and he can't help her, but then Jesus does and he's very intrigued. But you find out that he could have went after Jesus and he didn't. So it just makes you really think in your own life about, you know, what you're doing. And
yeah,
it was good.
Incredible way that they take a lot of the storyline that, you know, scripture doesn't give us and kind of fill in this picture for us of what it might have been like from start to finish. The first time Nicodemus hears about Jesus. Now, they plan on taking this series all the way through the four Gospels, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. The first season, which is the only thing that's been released so far, it takes you all the way through the scenario with Jesus at the woman at the well. In a lot of ways, his ministry is just starting then. But it does, like, it gives us this picture of Nicodemus becoming awakened to who Jesus is and this conflict within him that he had with the rest of the Pharisees who didn't see Jesus for who he was. Now, we know the end of the story, that at the end, Nicodemus is a disciple of Christ. But watching that transition, it's been awesome. We could go on and on about it. You got to watch it. That's all we're going to say. Yeah, that's all we're going to say. You got to watch it. So final topic today, we're going to talk about old jobs. And my wife picks our fun topics for the day. Why are we talking about old jobs?
I don't know. It's summertime and kids get jobs during the summer. And I don't know. Our oldest daughter is like working a full-time job this summer. And I don't know. It just, jobs are fun. And I thought they'd be a fun topic. So I'll start.
Okay. What was your favorite job?
My first job I ever had was Sonic. And I really liked Sonic. I'm a people person. So I like kind of going out and doing things. They tried to talk me into roller skating a couple of times to take some drinks out. And I did a time or two, but I just wasn't brave enough to keep it up. But it was my first job, and it was a lot of fun. What about you? What was your first job?
My first job was working in Pizza Hut. Yeah, I worked at Pizza Hut. In fact, I worked a lot of fast food jobs. I did work at Pizza Hut. I worked at Taco Tico. Taco Tico was a fun job for me. And you know my favorite job that you had?
What was that?
Lifeguarding.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. I loved to go to the pool when Andrea was a lifeguard and see if I could get her to jump out and save me. She never did. Uh-huh. But somehow years later, I still ended up marrying her. So she was a lifeguard for years.
I liked lifeguarding. It was fun. You had a great tan. And you got to be with all kinds of people. So those are actually some of my funnest jobs. And then I waitressed for a long time at Timberline Steakhouse. And it was fun, too. I really liked that atmosphere. I think I've said to you before that if there was ever like more of a Christian-friendly restaurant, that I would love to still do stuff like that. It was just most of those people didn't ever want to go home, and they wanted to stay.
She's tried to talk me into starting a restaurant many times before, believe it or not. She's crazy. I don't know if she's trying to kill me early or what. Like, I've already lost all my hair. But no, we're not starting a restaurant.
Yeah. Bringing some fun.
Just having fun. Hey, listen to this. So I had this job for a couple of weeks. I was probably late teenager, and it was a sales job where we went door to door and tried to sell things to people. And we were going through, neighborhoods, and it was me and a friend of mine, and we were being trained by this other sales agent. And I just hated it. What we were selling was so tacky. It was so.
I'm actually going to ask what you were selling.
Listen, it's just junk. It was just stupid stuff that people didn't really need. And when we originally took this job, they made it look like it was a really important thing. We could make a whole lot of money. And we got out there, and it's like, this is a dumb job, and we don't like selling this stuff. But we were with the agent that was training us. This is a crazy true story. We're at a Quick Trip. He goes to the restroom, and me and my friend are like, we don't want to do this. Oh, let's no. run away. And we literally, just for fun, we took off on foot, ran away from Quick Trip, left the guy there by himself, and just did not finish with that job. And so that was a fun experience. It's something I've never forgot. It was kind of funny. But, don't do that kind of door-to-door sales stuff where you're selling stuff people don't need. And, that was probably, that was one of my shortest jobs, less than 2 weeks.
Less than 2 weeks.
And we
like
we
2 hours?
No. For some reason, we were there for a couple of weeks, but we hadn't actually been able to go out.
Oh, yeah,
and
then, went out on
yeah,
the
we
street.
Had to go through training and orientation and everything else. And then it was like, now it's time to go. And we go out. And it just was not, it was not for us. And so since it wasn't for us, we decided we'd run away.
Oh my gosh. See, now that was a fun story.
Yeah.
So, yep.
Is that it? Are we done?
I think that's it.
All right. We love you guys. Hope that you all have a great weekend. God bless.
Thanks for joining us.